This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 108 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? We welcome you back to episode 108.
We're flying, my man.
108, hashtag 108. We're bringing to the table a Sydney, Australian local.
Yeah, Melissa Ambrosini. As we continue, for me and Johnny, we kind of want to test the realms a little bit with more females and getting to pick their brains. And today, we've got Melissa. Melissa is the best-selling author of Mastering Your Mean Girl, entrepreneur, wellness coach. She brings a lot to the table, so I'm really, really interested to speak to her today.
Yeah, there's a huge new movement. A friend of mine, I don't want to say new movement, but a friend of mine does consulting for a wellness brand. And we had dinner this past week, and he was telling me that one of the fastest growing industries is the female wellness industry under that umbrella, like basically natural, like cosmetics, clothes, that whole market. Basically, I think if you had to strip it down, Melissa empowers women. So like an empowerment movement sort of thing. And we're definitely out of our comfort zone in terms of, we've had women on the show that are doing great things, but somebody that specific with that sort of movement, I don't think there's anyone that measures up to Melissa quite yet on the show.
No, and it's a really a tribute to her. Like, I've been getting dozens of inboxes about, you know, her stuff from a lot of my female friends, and I know a lot of them have been following her for a long, long time, and she's starting to actually break through into the mainstream now, which is really, really positive. And yeah, her apparently, from what my friends have been telling me, like her wellness programs and her seminars and all the events that she holds are just outstanding. So one of them described her book as their Bible. So I guess that shows what the sort of power and influence that she does have, especially over women. But I always like to see what can also relate to us guys. So it'll be interesting chat.
And guys listening, I think it's really important too. If you're UFC fans, if you like the episodes we do with our fighters, listen to this one because you could take something from everyone. If you're sitting down with...
Yep, I agree.
You know, if you come to the show, if you come to the Vision Board to listen to an Evander Holyfield, we would really appreciate you if you come to the Vision Board to get a perspective from all different types. And that's what the show is like turning into.
What I've found is, from my own personal perspective, is the people I actually have learned the most from is the people that aren't in my general genre. So at the moment, you know, I love my sports and my fitness, but sometimes even the business. But just like I said, I've learned a lot from a lot of the females that have come on the show, and even to the couple of ones where, you know, it wasn't my general interest. Like for me, I love my rugby league, I love my fighting, and I love business, and obviously fitness as well. But, you know, some of the ones that I didn't think I was going to connect with that greatly is actually the reverse of what happened. So I'm really grateful for them coming on the show.
That's a great point. Like yourself, I love the fighting, I love the combat sports. I could sit down with an old guy and shoot the shit for hours. Looking back, before we got the show on the road, I wasn't really into business because it was something I didn't speak that language. So the more, when we bring those entrepreneurs on, those business experts, those strategists, those are the ones that I feel now are my favorite. And when we started, I had nothing to say. So there's parallels, guys, with all of these episodes. I think sometimes if I'm listening to one of my favorite podcasts and I know the guest, I might be a little less likely to listen right away. But if it's a guest or a genre that I'm not into, that I don't know, maybe like a mathematician on, you know, the Radiolab podcast, I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, man, I agree with
you.
Right? Yeah.
You learn things. You can learn different terms, different mindsets. And that's the beautiful part about the podcasting formula and format, is that we are able to bring on people from all walks and share their stories.
Yeah, so keep that open mind, guys. Big shout out to everyone listening to the show. We've got a lot of subscribers, a lot of new reviews on iTunes. So, guys, really, really appreciate you guys going to the effort. So, if you can, just keep telling your family and friends. If you've got that iTunes open and you haven't done it yet, please subscribe and please leave us a quick review.
We definitely appreciate you guys. This week alone, I couldn't remember another week when Tristan and I have had more messages in the inbox about ideas, about feedback from the show, about people who have been listening. Hopefully I don't pronounce this wrong, but Jer Loffrey, he's a guy that's messaging us. Yep. He's been listening to us since last year. We really appreciate things like that. And we're very open and vocal about, we are open for that feedback and ideas. And we really appreciate that because we're learning as well.
Oh, hell yeah. The interaction is the best, guys. So keep it up. Johnny Stofko on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, I should probably spell that. Well, there are many Stofkos out
there. Spell it out. It's always
Stofko, Johnny. And yeah, all socials, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, website, johnnystofko.com.
Awesome. Well, I'm Tristan Cannell Fitness and all of it. So, guys, like I said, interact with us. We love to speak to all of you. Now, okay, Melissa's ready. So let's get Melissa Ambrosini on the show. All right, our special guest is Melissa Ambrosini. Melissa is the best-selling author of Mastering Your Mean Girl and the host of the very successful Melissa Ambrosini Show. She's a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, and self-love teacher, inspiring people across the world to activate their dreams and live life on their own terms. We welcome Melissa Ambrosini. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I am really grateful and honored to be here with you both.
Excellent. Melissa, we appreciate having you. We appreciate your time. Like Tristan said, author, host, speaker, teacher, you're so busy. Your body of work speaks for itself. Could you share with our audience a little bit about what your 2017 is shaping up to be like, maybe some goals that you're going to smash out this year?
Yeah, so far 2017 is panning out pretty nicely. I have just relaunched my whole website with a fresh new rebrand, which was really fun and awesome to work on, and I feel like it really represents me now more than my old one. We also just launched the podcast, and this Melissa Ambrosini Show podcast, which is epic. I've got two new online mentoring programs that I'll be launching over the next 2 months, and I am writing my second book.
Now, the second book, let's just turn back to the first book for a second, because I've got a lot of female friends and they're all inboxing me yesterday when I said that you were going to come on the show. And, you know, one of them described Mean Girls as their Bible. So what I wanted to ask you was, you know, obviously, I'm sure that you might have wrote that with a specific intention of targeting females. Out of that book, what's the most specific things that actually, you know, can be found useful for us males as well?
Yeah, I mean, the book is very much, the language is, you know, driven toward a more female audience, but the concepts are universal. So, you know, if you are an open male, you can read it and still get all of the lessons and have an open mind to, you know, the terminology and the language that I use. But the core concept around Mastering Your Mean Girl is basically, I refer to your mean girl as fear. Some people call it your ego. Some people call it your shadow self, your smaller self, your inner critic. You know, there is so many different names that you can give fear. And basically, I believe that in order to live your best life and be the fullest version of yourself, you need to master fear and reside in a place of love. And that's what mastering your mean girl is all about. And it teaches you how to do that and how to live your best life every single day.
Could you share with us some of the intent or purpose when you had that revelation that you wanted to create the first book and share the message and give advice and help people? Were you going through a specific dark time? Was this something that you learned through adversity?
Yeah, it was actually. Back in 2010, I ended up in hospital very, very unwell and very unhappy. I had a whole host of health issues, which you can read about in my book, from, you know, thyroid problems to adrenal fatigue. I'd burnt myself out, basically. And not only did I have physical problems, I had mental problems. I was dealing with depression and an eating disorder. So I was very unhealthy and unwell and really unhappy. And I realized that I was the one that was causing a lot of my own internal suffering and that I had to get myself healthy and happy again. And that's where my quest really began. And even though that was the hardest and darkest time of my entire life, I'm so grateful for it because it put me on my path and it set me off. And although I would never wish what I went through on anyone, I do wish that everyone has that sort of light bulb in a moment where they go, oh, you know, this is it. This is what I'm here for. And it didn't happen overnight. It's not like I then woke up the next day and enlightened. Absolutely not. It just ignited a fire within me, and that curiosity set off that there could be another way to live, a more happier and healthier way. And it became my mission and my vision to uncover that.
So back in 2010, Melissa, what were you doing for work in that?
I was actually doing very different to what I do now. I was a professional dancer. So
oh, wow.
I danced at the Moulin Rouge in Paris. And
beautiful place.
Yes, amazing. And I lived there for a year. And then I also did acting and a little bit of TV presenting. And I lived in Paris for 1 year and London for 2 years. And I loved it. You know, I started dancing from the age of three. You know, my mum put me into dance school and I just loved it. I loved being able to express myself freely through movement and voice. And it really lit me up. But, you know, that industry can be very, very detrimental to you mentally and emotionally if you're not in a strong place within yourself, which I wasn't. So, you know, you go to all of these castings and auditions, you go to like 10 a day, and you're constantly being told no, or you're not good enough, or no, you know, we'll go with the next person. And after a while, that really starts to beat you down. And if your mean girl gets hold of it like mine did, it can really be quite detrimental to your happiness and your health. And from there, I spiraled into this deep, dark depression. And that's where my eating issues started as well. And it wasn't fun. And the industry that used to then make me happy, this whole industry, it no longer lit me up and it no longer made me happy and it was no longer my purpose. So I really made some shifts after ending up in hospital. I knew that I didn't want to go back to dancing and performing. I knew that that wasn't my truth anymore. I knew that I had a higher purpose.
Having overcome those moments of adversity, dark times, a lot of things put up against you, if you were able to jump into a time machine and visit the version of Melissa dancing for Moulin Rouge, what piece of advice would you give her?
Love yourself. Just love yourself. I think a lot of women, myself included, spend so much time hating on ourselves. Yeah. And that's just our mean girl. You know, women have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day. Men have around 40,000. So that potentially is 60 to 80,000 inner mean girl thoughts. That's a lot.
That is
and
a big number.
If we don't master them and get hold of them and turn them around, they can really beat us down. So I would say, you know, love yourself. Love yourself so much, because if you don't love yourself, no one else will.
Just to stick on that topic, like, what's the best advice that you've got for loving yourself? Like, is there a first step? Is it gratitude? Like, how does that work, Melissa?
I think mastering your mean girl is definitely the first step. And you know, I think with all transformation, the first step is awareness. So we have to become aware of our internal dialogue. I have a 3-step mastering your mean girl process, which I'll quickly just talk you through, and then I will go on to talk about self-love. The first step in any sort of transformation is awareness. So, and the first step in mastering your mean girl is awareness. You have to become aware of what it is that she is saying to you on a daily basis. Like, for some women, it's, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you can't do that, who do you think you are trying to launch your dream business? And men have it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not successful enough, you're not buff enough, your abs aren't strong enough. You know, we all have that inner mean girl or mean guy voice. We all do. And so becoming aware of what it is, like, what are her triggers or what are your inner critic's triggers? Because for some, it's really centered around maybe body image. For some, it's around money. For some, it's around you're never going to meet your soulmate, or you're not good enough to, you know, find the man of your dreams, or whatever it is. So awareness is key. The second step is closing the door on those thoughts. So imagine that voice, your inner critic, coming and knocking on your door and, you know, saying you're not good enough, or you can't get out of debt, or you'll never meet your dream partner, whatever. Instead of opening the door on that thought and letting that thought come in and letting your inner critic hang out with you for the next hours, a couple of hours or weeks, if not years, you say thank you, but no thank you, I'm not interested. And you gently close the door. So the first step is awareness. Become aware of what it is that your inner critic is saying. The second step is you gently close the door. And the third step is you choose love instead. So instead of choosing fear, which is your mean girl, instead of choosing fear, you say, you know what? Today, in this moment, I'm actually going to choose love instead. It is very, very, very simple 3-step process, but it doesn't always mean it's easy, especially if you have had, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of conditioning like some people have had. I am quite grateful that I only had 24 years of conditioning that I had to do unlearn. I meet people all the time who are, you know, have had 60, 70 years of conditioning, and they come to me and they're like, I want to change. I want to grow. I want to let go of these limiting beliefs. And it might be a little bit more challenging for them because they've been doing it for that amount of time. So that is the simple 3-step process. If you want to really flex your self-love muscle, then mastering your inner critic is the first step, because that is the voice that's going to tell you that you're not good enough, or that you're not pretty enough, or that you're not skinny enough, or buff enough, or whatever it is. So taking yourself through that 3-step mastering your mean girl process will radically change your life in an instant.
With all the mastery, the awareness of our weaknesses, our flaws, our ego, or Thea, which you mentioned, a lot of times what I'll do to help identify and just strip the stimulus away is I practice my meditation in a sensory deprivation tank in Bondi. And what that allows me to do is strip away all the stimulus, and I have moments to myself, and I'm face to face with things that are going right, maybe things that are going wrong. for the people listening at home and yourself included, Melissa, are there any practices or disciplines that you have in your weekly routine that allow you to sit there with just your thoughts and kind of go through that process of what to tick off and what to subtract out of your life?
Absolutely. Meditation is paramount for me. I practice daily, twice a day, 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon. And, you know, for me, that is my medication. And, you know, the best way to connect inward with myself, to realign. You know, we all have full lives. We've all got things going on and, you know, we're all striving and achieving and we've got families and we've got kids and we've got, you know, things to do. And it's very easy to just move through the motions. And it's very easy to not sit with ourselves and reconnect and tune in with how we're feeling and what's going on for us. It's very easy not to do that. But if you want to grow and evolve and be the best version of yourself possible, then connecting with yourself daily is essential. And that might be, you know, sitting for 2 minutes first thing in the morning to just take some breaths, connect inward, close your eyes and see how you feel in your body. And that's all it takes. Like, it doesn't have to be a long meditation. You know, just whatever you can do is perfect.
There's a university out of in Chicago, Illinois, that it's Singularity University. They teach wellness, meditation, spirituality to young adults to go out into the world and make the world a better place. What's your opinion on, do you think we'll ever be in a society to where we're teaching meditation and practices to young children?
It's already begun.
Are there schools?
Well, I know some schools that are implementing meditation. Absolutely. I know, because one of my best friends is a meditation teacher and he goes into schools and does it. So it absolutely is already happening. And I feel like it is only going to expand, which is great. And the more that we have these conversations, the more that it will expand. I practice a type of meditation called transcendental meditation. And from the age of 5, children can learn that technique and they can start to practice it. So I have a 11-year-old stepson and he learned when he was 6. And so that's what he practices. And he doesn't do it every day. Definitely not. But he has this tool that he can call on when he needs it.
So is that like a guided meditation? How does, just for us that don't really participate in that quite yet and getting educated on that area, how does that work, Melissa?
Well, there are so many different types of meditation. There's breath meditation. There's guided meditations. The one that I particularly practice, I do guided meditations and I sell guided meditations on my website. But I also practice transcendental meditation, which is basically, you get given by your meditation teacher a mantra, and the mantra is a sound in Sanskrit, and it has no attachment to that sound. It vibrates at a particular frequency, and that frequency helps you drop into that transcendent state quite quickly. And so when you repeat that mantra for 20 minutes, you are dropping into that transcendent state, and that's the juiciness. That's the bliss spot, they call it, the sweet nectar. And when you're in that spot, that's when you can release stress and overwhelm and fatigue from your body. And basically, this technique was designed for busy, modern city people who need something, like need that quick fix. So, and you do 20 minutes in the morning and you do 20 minutes in the afternoon, and it's equivalent to 4 hours of deep rest. So if you do that, you're essentially getting an extra 4 hours of sleep a day.
Wow. How long did it actually take you to actually master, Melissa?
Master meditation?
Yeah, well, get to a level where you can kind of you know, teach it to other people and at the same time feel comfortable doing it by yourself?
I mean, meditation is quite easy. It's a very easy thing to do. The hardest thing about it is mastering your thoughts. And it's really important to know that thoughts are part of meditation. You are not going to sit for a whole 20 minutes and have zero thoughts. That's just not, like, it's, you know, it's not realistic. And people beat themselves up. They say, I'm not meditating or I can't do it. But thoughts are part of meditation. What really makes you a good meditator, so to speak, is how quickly you can let go of the thought and return back to your mantra. So you might have, you know, you might be saying your mantra in your mind and you might, you know, it might be like mantra, 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 thought, mantra, mantra, thought, 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 mantra. And every time you have a thought, it's like come back quickly to your mantra. And the more you practice that, the stronger and the quicker you get at it. So then it trickles out into your everyday life, because ultimately we want to be present with our mantra. We want to be present with whatever's in front of us, but then our thoughts are what take us off. So if you can practice presence in your meditation, focusing on one thing, which is your mantra, that will drip feed out into every area of your life.
You just mentioned focus, so I'm really interested with everything that's going on, you know, what you're doing with the show, writing, speaking, you mentioned another book. What process do you have to identify which way to go on which project when you're figuring out what energy to disperse in directions?
I very much lead with my business, with my intuition, and same with my life. My whole business is built on intuition, and so is my life. Like, I tune in and I ask myself, you know, is this something that I want to do? Does this light me up? And if the answer is yes and yes, then I go for it. But if there is a niggle that's like, this doesn't kind of feel good, then I don't do it. There have been times where I've ignored my intuition in the past, and the universe has delivered me a nice big slap across the face. And every time we ignore our intuition, there's always a consequence, no matter how we try and trick the universe and go, oh, no, but, you know, it is my truth. It really is. You know, if it isn't intuitively lighting you up, then you'll always get a consequence if you ignore that. And I think, you know, the more you tune in with yourself, the more you practice meditation, you're strengthening your intuition. You can hear it more. You can feel it more. I didn't even know what my intuition was. Like, back in 2010 and prior, if someone had said to me, follow your intuition, I would have said, what the hell is that? But it is my internal compass. It is how I make every single decision in my entire life now. It's how I run my business and how I run my personal life.
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Melissa, let's go back to day one. So a lot of some of the people in my circle, I help them with their businesses, and I always ask them when they're struggling to get started, what are you good at? List your strengths. Tell me what you're good at. And let's pick one and let's focus on that. So before you started on your mission and you were sitting down and going through that process, what would you say is the one thing that you do very well?
I guess I've always had an innate ability to communicate. I love communicating through words and obviously, you know, writing and voice, but I've always had an innate ability to communicate complex terms in easy to digest ways. And that's how it all kind of started. I just began by sharing my writing on my blog and sharing what I was learning in very digestible ways for people to understand. And that's what I'm really good at.
Yeah, just sticking on the topic of writing, in terms of how the first book evolved, what was that process?
It was a very, very effortless process. That doesn't mean, yes, there were, it was also, I had moments of very much feeling frustrated as well, but I sat down, when I initially sat down to write Mastering Your Mean Girl, I went away for a few weeks and I went on a little creative bender, I called it.
Yeah.
And
where did you go?
I went to the Noosa hinterland. So I kind of locked myself away in Noosa hinterland in Queensland.
It's beautiful, it was so beautiful. There.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it flowed. It really did flow out of me. The first draft really did come pouring out, and it was a beautiful experience. I love writing. It's one of my favorite things to do. That doesn't mean it's not always challenged. Like, of course, I feel challenged at times and I feel frustrated, but when I'm actually in flow, it's such a beautiful experience.
Yeah. How long did it take to actually write from start to finish?
It's a really hard question to learn and to answer, sorry, because a lot of people ask me this. It's quite, the reason why it's hard because, I wrote the first draft, which was about 40,000 words over a 2.5 week period. And then I, you know, didn't touch it for a while. And then I came back to it and I wrote another 30,000 words in another 2 week period, and then I didn't touch it, and then I came back to it, and then I worked on it again for another couple of weeks. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
Did you sit down and like outline the chapters, and then, or did the chapters outline themselves after you put everything together?
Oh no, I sat down and I did a full chapter outline, a skeleton. So I broke it up into three sections and I wrote down all the chapter headlines that I wanted to talk about. And then when I went away, that's when I filled in all of those chunks. So I'd already written the skeleton, like I'd had all of my sections and I had my chapter headlines, which they changed, a few of them changed as well, which was fine, but I had that skeleton done before I actually sat down. And same with this book, I always start with a skeleton. Otherwise, I don't know how people don't, but that's just my process. I start with a skeleton and then I just sit and fill it in. And for Mastering Your Mean Girl, I started from the top and I literally just started at the top and I just worked my way down. This book I haven't. This book I'm finding a lot more challenging, and I was resisting sitting for a very, very long time, for months, because I was scared and my mean girl was like telling me that I can't do it and that I'm not going to be able to be a bestseller again. And my mean girl was really loud, and I was resisting because I was scared of the first section, because it's a topic I had to do a lot of research around.
Yep.
So I started with what I knew. So I actually started in the middle, which is a section that I know really well and that I live every single day. So I started there. So, I'm filling in the chapters that I know, and then I will move on to the harder stuff once I'm finished that.
Yeah, you've got me intrigued now. Book number two. For your followers out there and me and Johnny, can you maybe give us a couple of topics what might be in book two?
Well, this book is all about relationships. So, you know, relationships are the biggest game we play. Every day we are interacting with people. Yet we're thrust into this world with no manual on how to navigate our relationships. And we spend so much time stressing and worrying and, you know, fighting and a lot of divorce, you know, over 50% of relationships end in divorce. And, you know, that's expensive and time consuming and, you know, can be stressful and overwhelming. So this is, it's a relationship manual for both men and women.
I'm actually intrigued in terms of your inner circle, Melissa. Can you share who's in your inner circle and what they contribute in terms of success, both in lifestyle and in business?
That's a great question. I guess there's a lot of mentors that I have business-wise. I also have mentors, you know, spiritually. But in my immediate circle, I guess my husband is a huge influence on me, massive. He is an incredibly amazing and successful musician and entrepreneur. So he has been involved in many, many businesses and startups, very successful. So he has definitely taught me a lot in business, but also in life as well. He's 8 years older than me, so he has, you know, 8 more years of wisdom, and I'm very grateful to, he is my biggest inspiration by far in business and in life.
Is that a big thing that you kind of, because my parents are 8 years age difference as well, and sometimes my mum talks about, you know, some of the knowledge my dad had. Was that something that you look for in a partner?
Absolutely. You know, for me, I wanted to feel inspired by my partner. I wanted to feel, I really wanted to feel inspired. And I want to inspire him too, and I absolutely do inspire him in different ways. But for me, absolutely, feeling inspired by my lover is essential.
Yeah, let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk to you about, personally, the Melissa Ambrosini Show. You mentioned earlier about communication was one of your strengths, and you just got this thing, you know, off the ground. It's doing really well. Like Tristan Affer mentioned, when we posted that we were going to have you on the show, the women were coming out of the woodwork, Instagram messages, Twitter messages. So as an interviewer and host on your vision board, per se, who is the top of your mountain that you would like to sit down and interview? And what one question would you ask them?
Oh, the first two that came to my mind would be Oprah and Tony Robbins.
Ah, yes.
And mainly because I love these two people so, so much. I really do love them. And what would I ask them? That's a really good question, and I'd have to ponder it. I guess... I don't really know. I would just love to chat with them. I would love to be in their presence and just experience them. I don't have a particular question that I would, I'd have to think about that.
This morning, actually, when I got up, there's this channel. It's a YouTube channel that I listen to randomly. I used to listen to it every morning. It's called The Journey of Purpose. And they put together these 3 to 4 minute little videos of very successful people speaking about overcoming adversity. And this morning, the one I was listening to was Oprah. Have you ever heard her talk, the message she has about living your life and not expecting people to help you, not expecting people to do things for you? Like, if you want to make a change, you must be the action. You must take ownership of your own life. Have you ever heard her speak about that?
Yes, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. You know, for so many years, I, you know, wanted other people to take action for me, but no one can do it for you. If you want to create your success, like, you've got to do it. I used to also have this belief that, like, successful people were just lucky or they had rich parents. And that is absolutely not the case. Like, right? I look at successful people now and I'm like, you know, especially people I know, and I know how much they have worked their butt off.
Yeah.
And they've done it from a place of love, like, because it's their passion and it's their vision and their mission. They have worked their butt off. And people say the same to me. They're like, look at what you've created. And my, you know, my closest friends, they're like, they know how much effort and love and energy I pour into everything that I do. And I'm sure you guys are exactly the same. But there is no such thing as, you know, an overnight success.
Yep.
Everyone that is, you know, look at Tony Robbins. He's worked his butt off. He's also been doing what he's been doing for like
decades.
20, yeah, like, yeah, how many years? Once. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Guys listening at home, that's a huge take-home point. Is it's that it's the miles, it's the journey, it's the space in between that is the important part, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Mm.
You know, it's all about those little incremental steps and ensuring that there you have faith in yourself, that those steps are taking you with, like you said, Melissa, exuding out of love rather than fear.
Exactly.
So just in the short term, Melissa, because I listened to a few of your episodes. I listened to the one with Danielle the other day, Ben Greenfield, and Johnny was lucky to do one with John DeMartini like you did. So what's ahead on the schedule in the next couple of months?
Oh my goodness, I have so many amazing guests coming on the show. Like, I am so excited. We've got Marie Forleo, Dave Asprey.
Oh, wow.
Bulletproof.
Yeah, Bulletproof. We have Lewis Howes.
Oh, Lewis is the man.
Ohio State Buckeye. When you have him, you have to say go Buckeyes.
What's Buckeye?
Come on, what's Buckeye? In America.
He might hang up on
you. Yeah, how dare you? It's a university in Columbus, Ohio, the Ohio State University. Lewis is a big fan, so he'd appreciate it.
Okay, I'll say that to him. But yeah, we've got so many great people. My husband, who is just a wealth of knowledge on so many different things, entrepreneurship, spirituality, relationships, you know, everything. So we've got so many great people. I'm really, really excited. Lots of people, you know, there's health people, there's wealth, there's love, there's spirituality. You know, we tick all the boxes, and it's really great. I'm loving it so far. You know, day one, no, we launched the podcast like last Thursday, and it was number one across all of iTunes on Friday, which is amazing. And, you know, we've already had under a week, we had over 100,000 downloads, which is amazing.
That's awesome.
It's an attribute to your path.
To the people that you've lined up, and, you know, you've become a good, really good host as well.
Your body of work speaks for itself.
Thank you so much.
All right, Melissa, we're going to go into a bit of a personality round now. There's a few questions to start. Johnny's just got the first one.
All right, Melissa Ambrosini, if three of your closest friends were sitting around a table and you weren't in the room, what would they say about you?
They'd say I am energetic, bubbly, silly, and inspiring.
All right, the next one, we're going to take you back to your childhood. Now, Melissa, what posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
I had Peter Andre.
Oh, yes.
Backstreet Boys.
I'll see you later.
Backstreet Boys, Peter Andre. I had images of dolphins. I was obsessed with dolphins and horses. I was obsessed, like, horse and dolphin, everything. And I probably had the Spice Girls as well.
Okay.
And our final question, if you were hosting a dinner party, you get 5 invites. They could be anyone dead or alive, but you can't invite any family or friends. Who's Melissa inviting to dinner?
Ooh.
Peter Andre.
Yeah, no, definitely not. It definitely Oprah, Tony Robbins. I think Tim Ferriss would be quite good conversation. Dave Asprey, because I would just love to fully geek out with him about health stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe Daniel Vitalis as well. Or John DeMartini, he's amazing. We can go deep into some mind stuff there. Oh, there's so many people.
Yeah, what about John DeMartini? What was the biggest take-home point from your interview?
Well, he is...
How smart is that guy? Where did you interview him at?
Well, I actually first interviewed John about 5 years ago in his hotel room in Sydney.
The Hilton?
I can't remember. It was in the city. I can't remember.
Yep.
And I interviewed him, and he was amazing. And then my husband was producing a movie, and he was an advisor on it. And so I got to reconnect with him then. And then I went and did the Breakthrough Experience, so I reconnected with him again there. And then I asked him to come on my show, and he was, you know, all for it. He is such a beautiful man, really big heart, and so knowledgeable and so intelligent. Like, it just blows my mind. I learned so much from him, and, you know, just about polarity and projection and relationships, you know, he has blown my mind.
Yeah, we could talk. That's one of the things I didn't want to make it the focus of this interview, but Tristan brought it up. But yeah, his spirit, his nature, he's so kind, and he's so, like, he's so intelligent. I asked him a question about life's work, and we're in his hotel room, and he turns around and reaches from inside of a cabinet this book that's like 4,000 pages that he wrote.
Yes.
And he said he's done like 3 of them. And it made me feel initially inadequate. I was like, I have a lot of work to get doing. But yeah, he was, I listened to the interview as well you did with him. It was definitely awesome rapport you guys had.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to get him back on the show. 100%. He's also, I'm pretty sure he's written over 70 books.
It's something like that. I think, yeah.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's something like that. Like, he is just beyond phenomenal, that man.
Yeah.
Speaking of phenomenal, Melissa Ambrosini, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you sharing this space with us, and we want to say thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been awesome.
Yeah, just before you go, Melissa, where can the people find you on social media? And just give a little plug to your show as well.
Sure. You can come over to my website. It's just melissaambrosini.com. My podcast is The Melissa Ambrosini Show, and I'm Melissa Ambrosini on social media. So I'm really active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tweet me or Instagram me who you want me to interview. I will get them on the show. You know, if you have anyone that would really like me to interview, just let me know.
Awesome. Actually, I'll tell you who you should interview. I reckon Chase Jarvis. I don't know if you've heard of Chase before, but we've had him on, and he's an incredible human being, very, very creative. I think you guys would make a good match.
Yeah, awesome. Maybe you can hook me up and CC us in on an email.
Definitely. I definitely will when we jump off.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Melissa.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Melissa.
Guys, that was Melissa Ambrosini. We hope you enjoyed that show. Be sure to also be on the lookout. We've got Brian Rose on Wednesday. It's going to be an outstanding show. He's someone that I have looked up to for quite a long time now. Former London trader. Now he actually is in broadcasting and runs the brilliant show called The London Real.
Yeah, Brian's going to be an excellent episode. Melissa took a lot from her, You could tell that when you meet people that strip the stimulus away, such as, you know, that's a fancy way of saying meditation.
Mm.
Being able to be silent with themselves, they have a certain energy about them, a certain kind of tempo.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, you take a guy like, there was a comedian when I was younger named Dennis Leary. He was this really loud guy, and he was really fast, and when I think of people who need to meditate, he's that personality. When you listen to somebody like Melissa, slows things down, thinks things through, I think that and then, like she said, it's not always about being good at it. It's about just doing it.
Yeah.
I think Tiger Lily said that too. Dara said that.
Yeah.
So definitely a take-home point. I always when I dive into the meditation, the standard style, I'm always really hard on myself.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about meditation actually on Friday, because I think that's actually a great topic point, and I know that you're quite delved into that sort of in different ways. So I think you'll actually provide some great examples on our wrap-up show. So be sure to check out Brian on Thursday, wrap-up show on Friday, guys. Subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review. Johnny.
Yeah, guys. Other than that, man, we'll catch you later.
See ya.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working hard at it. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.